The Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge is one of the largest blocks of floodplain forest in the U.S. It's a critical rest stop for migrating birds and a haven for fish and other wildlife. This year, the refuge celebrates its 100th birthday and the Midwesterners who had the foresight to save it. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer has the story.
On a bluff above the Mississippi River in northeast Iowa, Billy Ryder Marolf sets up a tripod with a spotting scope. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist says the fall migration has just begun.
A lot of northern pintail here today. Some gadwall, some Canada geese, some green-winged teal.
The Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge stretches 260 river miles through Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois. Off the main channel, there's a mosaic of backwater lakes and marshes, braided streams, wetlands, and floodplain forests.
You can get lost in the maze of islands, and there's so many places to explore.
The 240,000-acre refuge is divided into four districts. Kendra Pednault manages the McGregor District, which covers parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. She says their mission is to protect wildlife and their habitats. Still, Pednault says it hosts nearly 4 million annual visits. People come here to fish, hunt, hike, kayak, and birdwatch.
The only way, personally, I feel that people can protect things is if they love it, and they got to get to know it a little bit to love it and want to protect it.
Back in 1924, a group of passionate anglers and outdoor enthusiasts convinced Congress to establish the refuge on the Upper Mississippi.
It was a huge success to protect a really large area. And if we didn't have that protection on this place, it would look a lot different.
Spearheading the campaign was the fledgling Isaac Walton League of America and its first president, Will Dilg. He spent his summers fishing in the river's backwaters. Scott Kovarovics is the executive director of the conservation organization. Shortly after the league formed, he says Dilg and the other founders caught wind of a plan to drain wetlands along 300 miles of the Upper Mississippi River.
And this was something that to them was just inconceivable that it could take place. The damage that would happen to the environment, to outdoor recreation, to fish and wildlife was incredible. And Dilg conceived of an audacious plan.
They set out to create a federally protected refuge. The league expanded from the Midwest to 100,000 members across the U.S. in a matter of years. They led a massive letter-writing campaign to members of Congress and created a coalition with groups like the General Federation of Women's Clubs. Kovarovics says the scale of these strategies was unique at the time.
And historians point to this, that, you know, the league in this campaign did originate the template for the grassroots conservation movement that would follow.
The challenges facing the Upper Mississippi River are different today than a century ago. The weather now teeter-totters between drought and extreme flood events. When rain comes in sudden bursts, it can cause a lot of erosion. In northwest Illinois, Savannah District Manager Ed Britton pulls out a large book with aerial photos from 1975.
Many of these islands that used to be along the main channel, they're all gone now. They've eroded away.
These islands are important nesting sites for birds. They also slow down river currents, which support more diverse habitats for aquatic life. At this district and across the refuge, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Army Corps of Engineers, and other partners are rebuilding islands and trying to protect more shorelines. But Britton says they need more public buy-in. And he says most people aren't going to notice how the river has changed if they just pass over it on a bridge.
They don't know what's going on with these extreme floods. You can look out there now, there's a little bit of a remnant of an island left. And I don't think most people are aware of that. They're just not aware of what's happening to our river system.
Back in Iowa, Ryder Marolf recognizes a lot of challenges ahead. But he hopes that visitors will still get to experience the richness of the refuge 100 years from now.
Because it's just such a treasure, and there's so much to learn out there.
As the sun hangs low, more ducks and geese glide into the water to rest for the night. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains.